It is good to be together. What a special weekend it is with Mother's Day and our Ambassador Bible College graduation. Well, as we begin this afternoon, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard the term life hack? Or maybe you've seen this on a social media, hashtag life hack. That hashtag for all of us older folks, that number sign we grew up, that's a hashtag. Well, what in the world is a life hack if you're not familiar with it? Well, it's advice. It's a tip or a skill that's designed to help you to do things more efficiently or to do things more effectively. So life hacks are ideas that help improve efficiency of those things that we're doing every single day. So if you're not familiar with them, you can look them up on YouTube or TikTok or any other social media that might be out there. Now, one of my favorites that I heard about was to take paint and put it on your bathroom trim. But it's not any old paint. It's glow-in-the-dark paint, so that if you have to get up at night a number of times like some of us do, you don't bump your toe on walking into the bathroom because the trim is glowing at night. And there are thousands upon thousands of just great little ideas that can help us to get things done even better. I mean, I heard one the other day that if you got a wrinkled shirt, you take it over to the dryer, you throw it in there with a couple of ice cubes and turn on the dryer for 10 minutes, and supposedly it takes out all the wrinkles. So if you hate ironing, maybe you want to try that next time. I don't vouch for that one because I didn't try it, but I've seen it on YouTube. But life hacks give you practical directions to be more productive, to be more proficient. But I wonder if you've ever thought about the fact that God provides us with practical life hacks. Now, it's not just for graduates, but it's for all of us, for all of us. Now, of course, there's no shortcut to God. It just doesn't happen that way. There aren't too many quick fixes when it comes to the challenges that we face in life. But on the other hand, there are ways to make our time more meaningful and more spiritual. So are we ready for a life hack to deeper spirituality? In fact, you could call one life hack that Paul talked about, the Apostle Paul gave us a life hack that is a do whatever it takes life hack. Hashtag do whatever it takes. And that is a great life hack for our grads to keep in mind. We can find that over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Notice this, do whatever it takes life hack. Colossians 3, 23, the Apostle Paul writes to God's church in Colossae, and they had some challenges. They had some difficulties. And they weren't always focused on what was most important, what was most critical. And this beautiful life hack that we're given is especially appropriate for our grads, because you're going to leave Cincinnati, you're going to leave Ambassador Bible College, and you're going to get out there in the real world. And you're going to have to do whatever it takes to maintain a spiritual perspective. And Paul talks about this here. Verse 23 in Colossians 3, he says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. In other words, work at it with all your heart. Do it wholeheartedly. Have that enthusiasm for God's way. Whatever you do, you give it your best shot. Whatever is at hand, you do that task, and you do it by putting yourself into it. Not just part of yourself, but put everything you've got into what life demands. And do it in a spiritual way. That's great advice. That is wonderful advice. But how do we do that? Are there some life hacks that we can think about so that we're more apt to give it all we've got, to do whatever it takes. Well, God does provide us with some of these things, practical spiritual life hacks. And one of the challenges that we face is trying to achieve that in the world that we live in. We live in a difficult place. And trying to integrate spiritual habits into this busy, technocentric life that we have, it's really difficult. It can be very difficult. So what do we do? What do we do? Here's a couple of life hacks. One thing we can do is use Scripture as your phone wallpaper. You know what I'm talking about? Many of you do. That sounds pretty basic. Put Scripture on my phone. What's the big deal about that? Well, I ran across an article that was titled Cell Phone Behavior in 2021. Subtitle was, How Obsessed Are We? Does that give you a little clue? This was on reviews.org. It was interesting because as you think about this, what do you think the average is when it comes to we Americans checking our phones every day? How often do we check our cell phones every day? 10 times? 30 times? 100 times? Well, according to this article, we check our cell phones 262 times a day. 262 times a day, that's every 5.5 minutes or so. Every 5.5 minutes. Can you imagine that? You're picking up this phone every 5.5 minutes and checking it. In fact, according to another survey just done in February by Statistica.com, it posed the question, how many hours do you spend on a daily basis on your phone? How many hours? Half of us said they spend an average of 5 to 6 hours on your cell phone. 5 to 6 hours. Now, what's interesting, that didn't include work time. That was not work-related smartphone use, just personal use on that cell phone. In fact, 22% of the others said they spent 3 to 4 hours on average per day on their cell phone. Makes your cell phone wallpaper maybe not seem so insignificant, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Consider the number of times you look at your cell phone. Do you look at it very often? How about if you use your lock screen as a reminder? Instead of just checking the time or checking your notifications, how about put a scripture up there? It's easy to do. It's really simple. In fact, this one says, Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send? This is from Isaiah 6:8. Who shall I send, God says? Who will go for us? I said, Here I am. Send me. It's a great reminder. It's a great reminder. Am I willing to do whatever it takes? And the cool thing about this, there are hundreds and hundreds of websites out there where you can get these free wallpapers. Put it on your phone like this. And it's there every time you pick it up. Every time you touch it to see what time it is or see if you've got any notifications, there's the Word of God staring you right there in the face. And it brings us back. It gets our mind refocused. We begin to think, what about God's plan? What about his purpose for my life? What does God have in mind for me? What about his promises? Boy, we can put a promise of God right there on the front of our cell phone. One like you might find in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. This is a beautiful hack that you can put on your phone wallpaper. Take a look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. I'll read this from the Living Bible. It says it a little bit differently than what your King James or your New King James might say. But imagine seeing this right there on the front of your phone. It says, Philippians 3:11, So whatever it takes, I'll be the one who lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. Whatever it takes. The Apostle Paul said, I don't mean to say I'm perfect. It's not that I have accomplished all. I haven't learned all that I should be yet, but I keep working toward that day when I'll finally be all that Christ saved me for what he wants me to be. Well, that's the goal. That's what it's about. And just a very simple little life hack can bring God's word to mind 10 times, 100, 262 times maybe it would be for you, over and over and over. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to have that on our mind. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And so it's a simple little hack that will leave God's thoughts right there in our minds. Now you might say, well, wait a second, I don't have a smartphone. Well, you could have the original life hack. It's called a post-it note. You could write it on a post-it note, write out a scripture on a post-it note, stick it on your mirror, or put it on your refrigerator, wherever you're going to take note of it over and over throughout the day. That's the original wallpaper. Or maybe you could have some wallpaper with scripture on it and literally have that. But it's a very simple, easy way to keep the Word of God on your mind. We talked about this at ABC. What are the students going to do now because they're leaving ABC and they will not be in front of their Bibles 7 hours, 5 days a week? So how are they going to keep God and His way at the forefront of their minds? Well, another spiritual life hack. You can use reminders and alarms to prompt you about important matters. You can use that. I mean, do you have trouble like that? I do. Absolutely. Do you get distracted? Maybe you get preoccupied or get going and then it's tough to follow through. Well, you can set up a schedule. You can schedule times on your phone to remind you. And it doesn't matter if you've got an iPhone or an Android, whatever it may be. I can just say, hey, Siri, set my alarm to study my Bible. See if she does. I got to clear out a notification first. Hey, Siri.
Uh-huh.
There we go. Set an alarm to study my Bible.
I found two alarms. Which one? Study my Bible alarm at 6:30 a.m. or study my Bible alarm at 8:30 p.m.
Okay, then I tell her that one. Or if I don't have one, I can say, hey, Siri, set an alarm to study my Bible at 5 p.m. Oh, she says, sorry, I can't take in all those words at once. Can you try it again? Well, you get the idea. You get the idea. And the amazing thing is, okay, it'll set that alarm. Now, that's pretty simple. But you can also use a location to remind you what you want to remember so that you can remember it when you get to a certain place. And this is pretty amazing. For example, you're leaving services. You want to remember to write a get well card to that person that you heard the prayer request about at church. So you get out to your car and you say, hey, Siri. She's responding. Hey, Siri. Remind me when I get home to write that get well card for Jim.
Okay, your reminder is set.
Now, when I drive home, the alarm will go off, and I will be reminded to write that get well card when I get to that location. I won't forget. I'm well-meaning. It won't slip my mind, because when I get home, my phone is going to remind me to do this spiritual thing. To really keep in mind, and of course, if I'm writing a card, I'm thinking about Jim, and I'm praying for him at the same time. And in fact, you can use that same reminder when you're in difficult situations. I know some of us have had some bad experiences at different places in our life. And some of us may have to drive by those places over and over and over again. I might have to drive by that hospital that I had a bad experience at. Or I might have to drive by that construction site or that cemetery or wherever that negative situation had occurred, it brings back those bad thoughts. Next time you drive by, talk to your phone. Just say, "Hey Siri, the next time I'm at this location, remind me to think of Colossians 3, 1 to 4.
Okay, your reminder is set.
Next time I drive by that hospital or that cemetery and a bad thought might come to my mind, I'm going to think of Colossians 3, 1. In fact, let's take a look at that. Colossians 3, 1. Rather than going with those negative thoughts that lead me in the wrong direction, now I'm going to be reminded to think differently. I'm supposed to have the mind of Christ. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to think those things. So Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, "If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And sometimes my mind doesn't work like that. I tend to go to the negative. I tend to think the wrong. Now I can have a reminder. When I'm in one of those locations, it's going to pop up, and it's such a simple thing, a life hack that will help me to be more spiritually minded, to really have that attitude, to do whatever it takes. You mean use my phone to remind me of spiritual things? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's a difference between knowing the truth of God and actually putting it into practice and doing it. We've studied the book of James, James 1:22. We got to be doers, right? We can't just be hearers. We got to be doers of the word. We've got to have that do whatever it takes approach. And when we're committed to God and even put God on my phone, really shows where my heart is. And we are committed. When we do whatever it takes, means we're willing to go that extra mile. I'm willing to take the time to put that reminder on my phone, to set that location, to go above and beyond the call of duty. And yeah, things are going to be tough. We're going to get out there. Grads, you're going to be in the real world. And there's going to be some tough situations. God's way could cost you. It will cost you. Might be a comfort. Might be a habit. Might be a job. Might be a relationship. But having that whatever it takes approach, that means you know what God wants done. And you're determined. You're determined that no matter what, with his help, you will see it through. Because you are a person of resolve. You are a person of determination. You are a person with conviction. And I'm going to do what it takes to strive to step up to the very next spiritual level. I mean, when we think of Christ. Did Christ have that frame of mind? I mean, that's supposed to be our frame of mind. Think about Christ for a moment. Did he have a do whatever it takes attitude? Of course he did. Of course he did. He was determined to do whatever it took to give his life for us so that we then could have the possibility of eternal life. Now, there's a similar life hack to this whatever it takes attitude that's found over in Luke chapter 19. It's a familiar story, but I wonder if you've thought of it in terms of a spiritual life hack. In Luke chapter 19, verse 1, we have the story of a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And here is Jesus Christ visiting his area. And he wants to see Jesus Christ. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 19, it says, "Jesus entered, passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. And he was rich." Now, I don't suppose anybody was surprised by that last little bit. Tax collector, yeah, he was probably pocketing the money, right? He's probably a lying cheat. That's what he must be. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. What does Zacchaeus want? It says, verse 3, "He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature." So he's a little guy. He's short, like some of us. Like some of us. In fact, there's a little child song that goes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. Anybody hear that? Yeah, wee. He was just a little guy, just a little guy. But his stature wasn't going to hold him back. He sought to see. And that's an interesting word. He sought to see. That's looking, not just to kind of see something, see whatever. No, he's seeking to find. That's what that word means when he sought Jesus. He sought to find Jesus. The word can even mean to crave, to crave. He was craving for a connection to Jesus Christ. That's what he was after, and he wanted to see it. And the seeing word is also interesting, sought to see. The seeing isn't just visualizing, but it has to do with ascertaining, recognizing something in order to do something about it. He was looking for Christ, craving a relationship with the Savior so that he could do something about it. He could take action. And so what life hack did he put into practice? Verse 4, he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now, can you imagine this little, short little tax collector that everybody recognized because he was the chief tax collector, not any old tax collector, throws his pride out the window and climbs up in a tree. I mean, he's not thinking about, you know, whether people are going to think crazy, he must be weird, what's wrong with this guy? No, he just does it. I mean, who would have thought climbing a tree is a life hack? But he took action, and he did something about it. Swallowed his pride, didn't worry about the dignity. He just put that on the line, and he got up in that tree. And really what he was doing, seeking Christ, he sought to see. He was ready for a change in his life. He was ready for a life change. And so what was he going to do about it? Whatever it took. He was going to climb to the heights to take action. And so it begs the question, are we going to take action? Are we going to do something about it? Are we going to climb a tree or do whatever it takes? And Zacchaeus, from this story, he wasn't diverted. He knew just what he wanted, and he was going to go after it. Now, it's easy to be diverted, though, isn't it? This life offers so many distractions, and one of the biggest distractions right here. Interesting, in this survey that was done, it asked a couple of interesting questions to those included in the survey. What percentage of us check our phones within the first 10 minutes of waking up in the morning? Reviews.org says 80% of us. 80% of us do that. Now, how many of us would say that this is our most valuable possession? 10%, 20%, 30%, 43% of Americans say this is it. This is what is most important as one of their belongings. This is it. This is it. Anybody feel uneasy when you forget your phone? I'll raise my hand on that one. 83% of us feel uneasy if we leave our phone at home. How about panicking? Anybody get anxiety when what percentage feel uneasy when their cell phone battery goes below 20%? 20%, that's still got a lot of battery life left, right? But more than half of us start to get a little anxious about that. A sad statistic. What percent say they spend more time on their cell phone than they do with their spouse? Almost half. You think this could be a distraction? This kind of divert our attention? I mean, have you ever been distracted? How about interrupted? You sit down to study your Bible, You've got the best intentions. You are ready. You're well-intended. So you get out the Bible. You get out that maybe cup of coffee in the morning. You're just ready to begin. And ding, beep, buzz. What? Okay, now I'm distracted. Here, I'd carved out this special time. I said I was going to do this. Now my Bible study's interrupted. And now I got to read this notification. I got to see what's going on. And I didn't realize that's happening in the world. And what are they texting me for? It can be hard. It can be difficult to spend time in the Word with just God because we become distracted. There's that notification. There's that text. There's that call. There's that email. What's an easy hack? An easy hack? Well, you could just put your phone away. Right, ABC students? You could leave your phone in your box in Mrs. DeCampo's office, as we did every single day, right? Okay, once in a while. If Mr. McNeely saw you, then you quickly ran to put it in your box, right? Okay, that's an easy hack. You could do that. What else could you do? Oh, you could put it on silent mode, right? And you're ready to study your Bible, and then, what was that? That sounds interesting. Okay, that's not going to work. That's not going to work, is it? Hey, Siri, turn on airplane mode.
You'll need to unlock your iPhone first.
Oh, it locked while I was here. All right.
I may stop working if you turn airplane mode on. Should I go ahead and turn on airplane mode?
She said I may stop working. It's like, yes. Yes.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Oh. Could you please repeat it?
Yes, yes.
Okay, airplane mode is now on.
Okay, my phone isn't going to buzz. It's not going to ding. It's not going to beep. No notifications, no emails, no texts, no calls. I can get into the Word of God without distraction. Without distraction. A simple little thing. In fact, there's a great reminder of airplane mode in the Bible. Go over to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And what's amazing about this, there weren't any airplanes back then. And yet, here is a great example of airplane mode. You wouldn't think it would be in the Bible, but sure enough, here it is. You're probably familiar with the story. It's the story of Jesus visiting Mary and Martha. So in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it's describing the situation. It happened, they went and entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him, that's Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." You see, Mary chose airplane mode. That's what she chose. Now, it was urgent for Martha. Martha had to get these things done. Well, I got to get the food ready. I got to get the dishes prepared. I've got to set the table. I've got to have all these things ready. Okay, that needed to be done. That was urgent. But was it most important? Okay, I might get a notification. I might get an email. That's important. It's urgent. But how important compared to the Word of God? You see, that's the challenge then. Is it urgent or important? And sometimes it's not easy to discern between those two things. Because if we are taken up by the urgent, we're in danger of missing the truth, missing out on the Word of God. Because we can avoid those distractions. And that notification, can it wait? Can it wait while I dig into God's Word for half an hour or 45 minutes? Can I be uninterrupted and have those cares kind of put aside for a minute? You see, that's exactly what Mary did. And she could focus then on Christ. She had that do whatever it takes approach. And she could dismiss those urgent things and choose what was truly important. So for us, let's be a Mary. Let's be a Mary and turn on airplane mode and be distraction-free. And that way we can make that study time just me and God and His Word. In fact, it is so simple at times. Boy, it goes right over my head. And I didn't think of that. Why didn't I think of that? These life hacks are kind of like that. Wow, where'd they come up with that? That's so obvious that somebody else should have thought of that a long time ago. It's true that our lives are busy. And sometimes it's a challenge to pray the way we should. We know a spiritual life hack is we've got to make prayer our practice in life. That's got to be a part of who we are. We can't be so busy we don't have quality time to talk to God. And a quick prayer here and there, does that really cut it? I mean, that doesn't really cut it, does it? And if we're going to take that attitude of whatever it takes, that means we're seeking God in everything that we do. We're working toward a deeper spiritual relationship with God through His Word. And prayer is absolutely critical. And so we can grow in our relationship with God by prayer. We know these things. And yet, it can be a struggle. It can be a struggle to actually do it, to actually put it into practice. I mean, Hebrews reminds us of this life hack. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it tells us we do have amazing access to our awesome Creator. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 is such a beautiful reminder to make sure that this spiritual life hack is right there at the top of the list when it comes to our everyday lives. Hebrews 4, 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." In time of need. And so we've been encouraged. This is encouragement to come before God. And implication here is that we have the privilege of a close, personal relationship, a special relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And that word boldly is an indication we can say what's on our mind. We can talk plainly. We can be straightforward. We can be right out there with God and speak honestly without fear, because His throne is a throne of grace. It's a throne that shows He loves us and He cares for us and He favors us. And even though we don't deserve it, He gives us that mercy and that grace. And so our response should be making prayer that practice, that daily practice in our life every day. Now, one way we can do that, a life hack, have a prayer list. Well, maybe not a new concept. I mean, the old school life hack, write it down on a piece of paper. This is my prayer list, and I've got a physical piece of paper. ABCers, who uses paper anymore, right? I got my phone. I've got my phone. All I need to do is open my Reminders app and create a new list. And when the thought comes to pray about something, okay, I might not have the moment right now to do that. When someone comes to my mind, I can just say, "Hey Siri, add to my prayer list, pray for the Pringles and the Copper Belt churches in Zambia."
All right, I've added it to your prayer list.
Now it's there. It's there. I can even say, Hey Siri, what's on my prayer list?
You'll need to unlock your iPhone first.
All right, fine.
There are two reminders on your prayer list. Pray for the people in India. Pray for the Pringles and the Copper Bell churches in Zambia.
It's that easy. It's that easy to have a spiritual life hack right there on your phone. You don't have to write it down. You just have to talk it and to do whatever it takes. How much does it take? Open up my reminders, make a list that says prayer list, and then just talk. Just talk. And then when I'm ready to get down on my knees before God, this will remind me. Oh, God, I forgot about that one. That's right. I need to pray. Keep them in mind. You know the struggles they're going through. And it will be that wonderful reminder that I need. I need that reminder. And it will help to really have that whatever it takes approach. I mean, one of those whatever it takes reminders is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Of course, we remember Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the amazing armor of God and taking up the armor, taking up that armor of God. It is such a powerful thing that we need to do every day. And of course, it tells us about this particular spiritual life hack. Now, of course, they didn't have iPhone reminders back then, but here's one of those old school reminders. Look at verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Yeah, but I forget. I can't remember. Oh, now I can. Now I can. Be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For all the saints. And so it's really a simple spiritual life hack. In fact, there's one, I think, that kind of ties in with the things that we read here in Ephesians chapter 6. Because we're reminded that we've got to have the kind of faith so we have the right relationship with God. And of course, the spiritual life hack is to remember Romans 10:17. It says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. And hearing the word of God, that can deepen our faith. That will reinforce our faith. We can trust God. We can have confidence in God. We are assured of his promises. And so this spiritual life hack will intensify our faith. And we can do it by reading the Bible with our ears. You ever read the Bible with your ears? Well, get a free Bible app. They're easy enough. Or buy the Bible on MP3. Put it on your phone. Put it on your phone. You can just say, hey, Siri, play my Bible app.
You'll need to unlock your...
Oh, she finally did. No problem there, right? No problem there. She finally did. And so it will...
And they believe in him if they have never heard about him. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask...
And so you can listen to the word of God. Now, that may have sounded maybe a little odd. That wasn't the King James Version. That wasn't the New King James Version. Listen to many translations of the Bible. Things will hit your ears a little bit differently. It'll sound a little different, and it'll perk up maybe an interest to really dig out your Bible. Okay, how does it say that in the King James? It doesn't say it that way. That says it just a little bit differently. And by reinforcing our hearing, we can deepen our faith. And our phone will do it for us. And we can listen to the Word of God. And we can read it too. Well, we need to read it, no doubt about that. And by listening to those various versions, you're going to hear things you might not have noticed before. And it doesn't take that much. Does it have to be iTunes? Does it have to be Spotify? Does it have to be Pandora? How about instead of my song list, I just take a little bit of time to listen to the Word of God? John chapter 5, verse 24 talks about exploring the Word of God and how important it is to our faith. Here we have Jesus Christ himself emphasizing that very fact. Notice what Christ said in John chapter 5, verse 24. Verse 24, Christ said, most assuredly, and of course, ABCers, we know that two words, most assuredly, that's the word amen. Amen. This is absolutely true. This is undoubted. You can count on this. I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Important to put that life hack into practice. Listen to the word of God. No doubt. No doubt. Surveys have shown that Americans spend an average of 50 minutes on their phones before they go to bed at night. How about having God's word on your mind when you close out the day? Take a few of those minutes to listen to the word of God, and it will make a tremendous difference in your life. And of course, the list of spiritual hacks could go on and on and on. But graduates, brethren, figure them out on your own. You can begin to have those spiritual life hacks, and you can put them into practice. You can keep scripture right there on your wallpaper. You can use reminders. You can use alarms to prompt you about the things that are most important. And you can close out the world around you by turning on airplane mode. Don't get into the urgent, but do the important. Prayer can be those reminders to put it into practice in your life. And we can build faith by listening to the word of God. So I encourage you, as you leave ABC, as we leave the building today, come up with your own spiritual life hacks. Let's determine to be practical, to become more proficient, more productive, and make our time more meaningful and more spiritual. And so no matter what, let's choose to have that do-whatever-it-takes approach and make the most of our practical, spiritual life hacks.